Yeah, we'll start the Mishnah on Yudamid Aleph. So a lot of the Gemara today will be a repeat because the Gemara enumerated before we discussed the comparison between Gittim and the Shichra Avadim. And here the Mishnayos here are going to go through some of these topics that we had mentioned earlier. The first is Koget, Sheishalav Eid Kuti Pasul. Any get, meaning any shtar that has a single eight kuti that's signed on it, meaning out of the two edim there's an eight kuti, they are pasul chutz migitei nashim b'shichrei avadim. So here, gitei nashim and shichrei avadim, these are one of the items that we mentioned above, have a similarity here, which is that even when they have an eight kuti signed on them, that they are kasher. And we're going to see in the Gemara why that is true. We've saw that above already. We discussed it in the Rishonim when we discussed the sugya, but the Gemara is going to go through this issue. So namasa sheviu lifnei ragviel the kfar otunai. There was a case where in Kfar Otunai they brought a get, looks like before, a get isha before Rabbi Gamliel. Vayu edav, it sounds like in plural. Vayu edav, edei kutim. That not only was it one aid, was a kuti, but both aidim were kutim, vehechshir, and he was in vehechshir, and he was mater, he was machshir, this get nashim. So the Gemara will discuss exactly what Rabbi Gamliel is saying, legabe, what the Tanakhama said. So where it says, Mani Mas Nisan, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Tanakama, Velo Rabbi Lazar, Velo Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's none of the three Tanoim that we're about to mention, because we have a Braisa when it comes to Tanoim, how we deal with the Kutim in general. Titanya, Matzat Kuti Muteret, Vadam Yotze Ba Yidei Chovato B'Pesach. That if a Kuti makes Matzah, that not only is it not Chametz, I mean that there are two levels. If you want to use matzah on the first night of Pesach, right, you have the requirement of Erev Tochlu Matzot. So there is a requirement that it not be chametz. That's the normal standard by any matzah they eat throughout Pesach. But in addition, on the first night of Pesach, there's an additional requirement of Vishmartim et HaMatzot, right, that you also have matzah HaShmura. It's machlokas in the Rishonim, by the Gemara and Pesachim, I think Pesachim Daf Mem. When it comes to Mishmartim et HaMatzot, or Matzah Shmura, what does it mean that Matzah Shmura? Does Matzah Shmura mean Shmura min HaChametz? That it's Shmura that does not become Chametz? Or does Matzah Shmura mean Shmura l'shem mitzvah, or l'shem mitzvah matzah? That you have to do it specifically for the mitzvah of matzah. So that's what Rashi points out over here. When we say over here, this Rashi, who has the Shita, that Shmirat HaMatzah means l'shem mitzvah matzah. So over here he says, when it says Matzat Kuti Muteret, means number one, that it's not Chametz, and number two is V'adam Yotze Ba'yidei Chuvata B'Pesach, Rashi says that means on the first night or on the Pesach, you want to use this Matzah, that is Shimor L'Shem Chuvat Matzah, that we could trust them that they also did it L'Shem Mitzvat Matzah. So therefore, Rabbi, the way the Tanakhama seems to learn over here is that a Kuti is like a Jew when it comes to Matzot. Rabbi Lazar Oser, Rabbi Lazar is the opposite side of this, which is he's Oser the Fishain became Dikduke Mitzvot. That Rabbi Lazar is Oser because we don't trust the Kutim. The Kutim are not Makpidim Dikduke Mitzvot. And since they're not Makpidim Dikduke Mitzvot, we can't trust them both from the side of Chametz. We can't trust them from the side of course, the shame Mitzvot Matzah. Right? The middle of the ground, it seems like the middle ground. Here's Rabbi Shimon Lomero, Ko Mitzvah. Shechziku ba kutim, harbe medakdekim ba yoter miYisrael. That any mitzvah that the kutim keep, we assume that if they keep this mitzvah, if they were machzik in this mitzvah, they do it even better than Klal Yisrael themselves, which are regular, we call prushim, themselves. So now, when it comes to the kutim, right, we have today in Eretz Yisrael, the Shomronim, right, which are probably the descendants, whether literally the descendants, or at least, philosophically, the descendants of the Kutim, who believe that they follow the Torah Shebichtav. So when they follow the Torah Shebichtav, then anything that's written explicitly in the Torah, then we assume that the Kutim follow it. And that's true. That's basically what the Tanakhama suggests over here. Tanakhama suggests that the matzah of the Kutim, since the matzah is written explicitly in the Torah, so that's a mitzvah that we can trust the Kutim about. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, says not only mitzvot that are explicitly written in the Torah, but even dinei derabbanon, even when it comes to certain mitzvot derabbanon, if they accepted them, if they were makabel these mitzvot on them, that they kept these mitzvot as good as Jews, even though it's not explicitly written in the Torah. So Tosfos over here discusses, you know, meaning what are the nafkaminos between Rabbi the Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tosfos seems to conclude that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree if it's explicitly written in the Torah that possibly Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree to the Tana Kama, and the Tana Kama might also agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel about where they are Sherechek Ziku. And that's where Tosfos discusses, if the Gemara in Chulin actually discusses the nafkamino between them. And there he says that the Gemara has a suffix, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether if it's explicitly written, right, whether that is enough if they're not machzik in the mitzvah. Whereas the Tana Kama thinks that being tivo or chakzok in the mitzvah would be sufficient in either way. Anyway, now that we have these opinions about the kutim with regards to matzah, how does that apply over here? So now the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? E Tana Kama, Afilu Shar Shtarot Nami. Where did a Tana Kama? Seems like the Kutim are full-blown, you know, Jews with regard to mitzvot. That's the case. Any Shtar, they should be validating them on any Shtar. E Rabbi Elazar, Afilu Get Isha Nami Lo. If it's Rabbi Elazar who thinks the Kutim are invalid across the board, in that case, then even a Get Isha should be possible. B Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, should be totally on whether they're Achzuk or not. Ida Achzuk, Afilu Shar Shtarot Nami. If they're achzuk in this mitzvah, then it should be what's sufficient for any shtar. Either lo achzuk, if they're not involved with any of these mitzvah, they're not, right, we don't believe that they've kept these mitzvah properly. Afilu get isha nami lo, should not be. Where it says, v'chi teimas, what are you going to suggest? We're going to suggest that the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and it depends. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who heave the achzuk baha, lo achzuk baha. That's what suggests, that exactly, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They were machzik in Gitei Noshim. Therefore, they're trusted when it comes to Gitei Nashim. On the other hand, when it came to Shar Shtaros, they were not machzik in that. And since they were not muchzak in those mitzvot, we won't trust them by Shar Shtarot. So say exactly that. Shimon Leo gives us a formula by which we know when they're trusted or not they're trusted. And let's say that the Mishnah is divided along those lines of whether they are muchzak in the mitzvah or not muchzak in the mitzvah. Mar says, well, if you suggest that, then hiyochi mayir yachad. Why is only one aid okay? I mean, if it's true that they're machzik in the mitzvah, the gamrei, then even two eidei kutim should be good by a getisha. Why does our Mishnah say only one eid kuti is good? Then both should be good because Rabbi Elazar thinks once they're machzik in the mitzvah, or once they're muchzik in such a mitzvah, they keep it entirely. Once it's yachi mayir yachad, afilu trei nami. So where it says, alama amar Rabbi Elazar loichshiru bo ela eid echad kuti bilvad. But how could you say that? We have a statement from Elazar that when it says in this Mishnah that we are matir, such a getisha, that's only when there's one eid kuti, not when there are two eid kutim. So Gemara says, Be'olam Rabbi Elazar. It's alright, the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Elazar. Ukagon, this is what we discussed yesterday's daf when we discussed these issues, the Chotim Yisrael Lebasof, that in any document we have two signatories on it, right? There are the first signature and the second signature. So now, if the Yisrael, the Prushi, signed the second signature, that means that he saw who signed prior to him. And he would only agree to sign such a document if he felt comfortable with the aid that came before him. So the aid Kuti who came before him, that signed before him in the get, right, he knew, or at least he verified that the person was a kosher aid. By after verifying it, when he signs at the bottom, we can trust this document, this getisha. Dilab kuti chaver hava lo machtim le mikame. Had he not been a kuti chaver, this Jew would not let him sign above him, right? Or either because of, you know, COVID reasons, meaning that he wouldn't let someone who's not of his standing sign before him, but more importantly, he would not sign below him if he didn't believe the person who signed first was a valid witness. Mar says, ihochi, if you're going to suggest that that's the solution for a get, Afilu shar shtarot nami. Then why shouldn't that work for any shtar? As long as the Jew is the second signatory on the document, then that should validate or verify the first signature. Where it says, Ela amrinon, how about shar shtarot, what's the problem? Rav choshovok, lamanda koshishmine. Right, that he left room. When he came to sign, he was actually the first one to sign. But when he came to sign, he signed on the second line. He left room for someone to sign before him. For someone who was older than him, who was more kavod, he assumed that whoever they were going to get to sign it would be more important than him. So he took the second slot, and he left the first slot for somebody more important. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case by Sharshtarot, why can't you say the same thing by Gitin? Why should Get Isha be valid now? Hochanami Rav Choshova, Klamanda Koshishmine. How can you say the fact that he's the second, right, signature on the Get, that means that he verified or validated the first signature? That may not be true. He might have signed first and left the first line blank and allowed the other person to come to sign after him. So Rav Papa comes and gives the solution, which we discussed in yesterday's daf. Zot Omeret, Eidei Get in Chotmim Zeh Belo Zeh. That when it comes to an Eidei Get, they must sign together, meaning that they must be both present at the time of signing. My entire moment of Asi, Rav Ashi, Gzeira Mishum Kulchem. That they must both be present because of the Gzeira Mishum Kulchem. Right, we'll do it in a second. We'll discuss what the Gzeira Mishum Kulchem is. But this Takanas Chachamim, right, this Gzeiras Chachamim, that they must both be present to sign, automatically makes it by Gitei Noshim and Shichrei Avadim, that if we have a kosher aid that we know about, that's the second signature on the document, then we know that he's verified the first signature. Because he will never sign, not in the presence of the other aid. So he knows who the other aid will be. That is not necessarily true by any Stam Shtarot. Regular Shtarot, he could sign the second line, leave the first line blank, and then someone else can come and sign after him, and he has no idea who that signature is. Because they do not have to sign one in front of the other. So the fact that they can sign separately means that his signature is not necessarily a verification of the first aid. As opposed to that, in Gitei Noshim, Shichrei Avodim, when he's the second signature, by definition, that's a verification of the first signature because they must sign when they are both present. Why must they both sign because when they are both present? So that has to do with a Xero because of a sugya later on, that a person who says to 10 people, Kulchem kitvu get li ishti, right? All of you go and write a get to my wife. So basically there are 10 guys standing there. He goes, you 10, please go write a get to my wife. So now, then it has to be echad kotev v'kulam chotmim. One of them can write the get, and then all 10 of them must sign on this get. And if they do not all sign on the get, it's a pasul get. Because he said, when he said to them, kulchem, right, then it sounds like what? That he means all of you. The kpeda tell you that he made such a kpeda that they all should sign it. If they don't sign it, then it will be an invalid get. So therefore, the takanas chachamim is that in any instance where we require a get to be written, we ask all the eidim to be present and to sign the get together at that time because of this case of kulchem. Anytime that there was a Baal would say something about kulchem or asked a number of people to do it on their behalf, they must all be present. So therefore, we made a general takana gzera by gitin. That all Eidim must be present. Since all Eidim must be present, again, because of this Gezerah, there's a secondary benefit, which is that if the second signature is a Jewish signature, that verifies the first signature, which is an Eid Kuti. So that solves our problem in the Mishnah. Why is a single Eid Kuti kosher by Gitei Noshim and not by Shar Shtaros? By Shar Shtaros, they could sign separately. So the Jew could have, the Chaver could have signed second, left it blank. Then a kuti came along who we have no idea who he is, right? He may not be a kosher aid, and he goes on and he signs in the first line. So now we don't know. The star may not be a good star. As opposed to that, when they signed on the gitim, because of this takana, which has nothing to do with kuti, but because of this takana, they both would be present. And since they both would be present, when he signs second, that means that he knows who the first signature is, or the first signatory is, and therefore, we consider the first signature to be a valid signature, because he would have checked out the kuti. He wouldn't have signed it unless he knew that this kuti was a good kuti. And that makes Rabbi Lazar the author of our Mishnah. Now, Kufa, Akmar says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, lo'ichshivu bo ele ed echad kuti bovad. So, Maikam Ashmalon, what is he adding for us here? What is he adding? Tanina. That's already, we have that explicitly already. Ko get chalesha lav ed kuti posul. Right, any get that has an 8 kuti on it is pasul, chutz, mi gitei noshim, right, except for gitei noshim. So we know already from the Mishnah that one aid is the only thing that's valid over here. Why do I need a statement from a velazah that we're talking about only one aid here? So Mar says, ima mas nisan, had it been just for our Mishnah, hava min afkilu trei nami, that even two aidim kutim would be okay. So then, why did the Mishnah write one? Why the tani chad mishum de bishtarot, afilu ad nami lo. Our Mishnah came to teach us by regular shtaros that even one Eid Kuti is possible. So truthfully, it could have written two Eid Kuti and by a get is kosher. It wrote one in the Mishnah just to teach us about regular staros, regular documents that have one Eid Kuti on it, they are psulim. But two Eid Kutim would be kosher by Gitei Noshim. So Kamash Malon comes along, Rabbi Lozer, and says, no, that even by Gitei Noshim, only one Eid Kuti is kosher, not two. Rabbi Lozer, that even by Gitei Noshim, that's one. So the Gemara says, Vitrei Lo. Right? What do you mean? That this conclusion that we just came to, that by two Eidim, by a get will be possible, according to Rabbi Lozer, is that really true? Ba'aktani, we pointed this out when we read the Mishnah, that Rabbi Gamliel brought that case in the Mishnah, which sounded like both Eidim were Kutim, and nevertheless he was, said it was a kosher get, right? Because he says, Ba'aktani, Maisev, Ve'evil lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, l'chap, l'chvar atunai, get isha, v'ayu eidav, in plural, right? Eidei Kutim, v'yechshir. So you see from that statement of Rabbi Gamliel that even two Eidei Kutim are kosher. So first of all, Abaye solves the problem, Amar Abaye, Nay Edo, that Rabbi amends the Mishnah to read Edo, meaning a single Eid. Right, so by amending the Mishnah, then he just agrees. His Maisa is not Lesoter, but supports the position of the Mishnah. Rav Amar the Olam Trey. Rav says, no, don't amend the Mishnah. Say that it is Edov. Right, Rabbi Gamliel Miflag Polik. Right, so Rabbi Gamliel, who brings the Maisa in the Mishnah, argues on Rabbi Lazar, who established is the Tana Kamo. Vachasurei Machsura, and the Mishnah is missing. Vachik Tani. Rabbi Gamliel Machshir Bishnaim. Right, that after we had the statement of the Tana Kama that eight kuti, a single eight kuti is kosher by Kitei Noshim, Rabbi Gamliel comes along and says, no, even two, umaisa nami. And then the Mishnah brings this maisa, sheviel lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, the kvar tonight, get isha, vayu eidav, eight kuti, v'yichshir. Right, so if exactly that case, Rabbi Gamliel's case is supporting his position that even by two eight kutim would be okay by the get, because he could hold, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that it's all about achzuk. That was what the Gemara established. The Gemara tried to answer at first that the Mishnah had to do with what they were achzuk begitei noshim. They were not achzuk and unshar shtoros. If that's the case, right, the Gemara said it can't be that because you know Rabbi Lazar says only one eid kuti is kosher. But over here, if you believe that, then the Gemara says you should say that even two eid kutim should be kosher by gitei noshim. And that's exactly what Gamil holds. He could hold that by gitei noshim achzuk and by unshar shtoros they were lo achzuk. And therefore, they're believed entirely by Gitei Noshim, even to Eidei Kutim, and by Shar Shtoros, they're not believed at all. It would seem like that. The Gemara is not clear because they only bring one case. Rabbi Gamliel only addresses the case of Gitei Noshim. But assuming that that means Dafka Gitei Noshim and not Shar Shtoros, then yes, he would have to. It would seem like he was holding like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. All right. So now. I will point out there's one very interesting Tosfos before we continue about Matzat Kuti. Tosfos asks about Matzat Kuti that there is actually a gzeira al pat kuti. There's a gzeira on pat kuti that you're not allowed to eat pat kuti. And if you're not allowed to eat pat kuti, forget about whether this kuti can make matzah and his matzah won't be chametz, or his matzah is, you know, he did it l'shem mitzvah's matzah. He can't eat this pat kuti because there's a gzeira on pat kuti somewhat similar to pat akum. So now, if that's the case, how can we even come up with a case where kuti is making matzah? So Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here, it's very interesting, Rabbeinu Tam, that our case over here is be'isat Yisrael she'asu kuti matzah mimenu. One possibility is what, or the possibility is that he took Jewish, it was a Jewish isa. It belonged to a Jew, he had dough, he was making an isa, and then this kuti went ahead and made matzah out of the isa of the Jew. So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, if that's the case, how can we trust the kuti to make this matzah l'shem mitzvah's matzah? We know that the kutim only hold of what things that are explicitly written in the Torah. What's not written explicitly in the Torah? The Torah says, l'fnei iver lo titen michshol. So if you take that literally, that means don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. The Chazal, or the Medrash Halacha Darshan's on l'fnei iver lo titen michshol, is that you can't do something that trips up your friend in a mitzvah. So therefore, if you cause your friend to violate or do something wrong in a mitzvah, that's a violation of l'fnei iver lo titen michshol. The kutim did not believe that. So they had no problem if they wanted to do something wrong. They didn't have any problem if you were the one who was wronged by what they did. If they wouldn't wrong themselves, but they would wrong you. So in this case over here, the kuti goes ahead and makes the matzah for the Jew, just because he says l'shem mitzvah's matzah, he'll say, yeah, I made it l'shem mitzvah's matzah. He does, even if he didn't do it, the Shem Yitzvah, he'll say that because he doesn't believe that's a problem of the Sneifer causing the Jew a problem. So even if you say this is a Isat Yisrael, how can you trust the Kuti to say that this is done L'shem Mitzvah's Matzah? So the Rabbeinu Tam answers, and we have this in other places in Shas, that it's only in a case where the Kuti eats the Matzah himself as well, that he uses it for his own Mitzvah's Matzah. Because we know that when it comes to the Mitzvah that they were or the Mitzvah that they're doing, that they do it right when it comes to themselves. So if they're willing themselves to participate or use this Matzah, then we know that you can use the Matzah, because then there's no longer a problem of L'tzneiver lo titen michshol, because it's about himself. Once it's about himself, he does the mitzvah properly, and then we can trust him with regards to the mitzvah for yourself. But if he won't partake in that matzah, then we can't trust him. So Rabbeinu Tam has to come up with two akimto to explain our gemara over here. One is it's not a matzah kuti, because we're talking about an isat Yisrael, talking about the dough of a regular Jew. And number two is, it's a case where the kuti also partakes of the matzah. He uses this for his matzah as well, and therefore we can trust him to say that this was done l'shem matzah mitzvah. Now, the next Mishnah here is a very, very important Mishnah. It has major nafkaminot la'alocha today. We'll try to address, we have a little extra time. We'll look at maybe the Rambam and some of the other Rishonim that discuss the issues associated with this Mishnah over here. So it says, Kol shtarot ha'olim be'erka'ot shel ovdei kochavim. So again, we discussed this yesterday, Zaf. Now the Mishnah is going to talk about it, and we're going to define it more clearly. So any shtar that goes through the non-Jewish court system, even though the signatures or the signatories on this document are non-Jewish signatures, it's a valid contract. Right? So the Mishnah, that's basic Mishnah. The Mishnah says you have a contract here, you have some sort of shtar that went through the non-Jewish court system, signed by non-Jews, it's a valid contract, and it's kosher. Chutz mikitei noshim v'shichrurei avadim. The exclusion to that is Gitei Noshim and Shichrer Avadim. Question of why. Why is it by Get and Get Isha and Shichrer Avadim it's not valid? So that we'll have to discuss. There's two possibilities of what the problem is. One possibility is if that you require, if we believe that Eidei Chatima are Karte, that the signatories are the ones who make the Shtar a valid Shtar, then by Gitei Noshim we know that Kutim, or not even Kutim, but even Ovdei Kochavim are not Bnei Kritut. They don't have, they're not Shayach to the Parsha of Kiddushin and Gitin. So if they're not Shayach to the Parsha of Kiddushin and Gitin, then their signing on the Get is not going to make it into a valid Get, because they're not Shayach at all to the Parsha. They're not valid Eidim. They're not valid when it comes to signing on the document. That could be the one possibility. The other possibility, which we discussed also above, is if Eidei Mesira Karte. If it is that, what? That the whoever the get is given in front of are the ones who determine or make the get a kosher get, then if you had Jewish Eidim that watched or they saw the get being given, then they make it into a valid get. Then afterwards you have non-Jews sign on the get. So the get should be valid because it was given in front of Jews. So why when non-Jews sign on the get does it make it a problem? That we said because Shema Yavoda Mismachalayu, that they might come to rely on these goyim later on. Meaning that if we allow them to sign on the get, we might come also to rely on them when they're to be used as Eidei Mesira, which they are clearly not valid for. They cannot be the Eidei Mesira. So that's depending if you hold Eidei Mesira Karte, Eidei Chatima Karte, that is the problem here for Gitei Noshim and Shichrei Avadim. Now, the Mishnah continues, right? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Elu Ksherim, even Gitei Noshim and Shichrei Avadim are kosher, right? Lo Uzkru El Bizmach and Atsu Behejot. The only problem is when they're not done in court, but they're done in front of lay people that are non-Jews. So Mar says, Kaposik Vitani. Our Mishnah says, without differentiating, Lo Shna Mecher, Lo Shma Matana. Right? That our Mishnah does not differentiate in what type of shtar we're talking about here. Right? Because it could be a shtar mecher, which is a document of sale, and a shtar matana, which is a document of gift, some sort of form of gift. Now, the truth is that these two types of documents function very differently. Why is that? When it comes to a shtar mecher, when it comes to a document of sale, the document of sale does not create the kinyan. Right? There's a transaction that transpired. You gave money over. You bought the land. And now you want a document to evidence that this transaction took place. So all the document of a shtar mecher is simply a shtar raya. It's a proof document that such a transaction transpired. When it comes to a shtar matana, when it comes to a document of gift, right, or a gifting, then that shtar is what generates the gift. That shtar is what makes it into a kinyan. It forms the kinyan. So the Gemara here seems says, well, our mission does not differentiate between these two types of documents. The Gemara says, Bishlama mecher, when it comes to a document of sale, Michay zue is a kamayu hu dekona. When the person paid the money for the field, the kinyan was done. Ushtara raya ba'almahu. Right? And the shtar is only a document of evidence. Right? It's a evidence that such a transaction took place. So therefore, when non-Jews sign on it, we believe them to be good edim with regards to what? With regards to giving evidence of such a sale. Why? Because these, if you go to court, the non-Jewish court, we believe that these judges would not compromise their position or their standing by signing on such a document unless something that this actually transpired. So when they sign on such a document of evidence, right, they're not signing that, they're not making the kinyan, they're just giving, they're saying, yes, such a kinyan took place, and we believe them because they would not sign it otherwise if they believed it was untrue. Ela matana b'mayka koni. When you give a gift, what's the kinyan? Lav b'hai shtara. Isn't the kinyan through this shtar? V'hai shtara chas b'bi'almahu. And this shtar is a piece of paper, but shtar chas b'almahu means a piece of kli cheres, right? It's worthless. Why is the shtar worthless? Who signed the shtar? The shtar is signed by non-Jews. So how can non-Jews create a kinyan? They can't generate, they can't make a kosher kinyan over here. They can't create the kinyan. They could be evidence of a kinyan, but they can't create such a kinyan. And by shtar matana, we're actually generating the kinyan through the shtar. So they should be invalid over here. So how could it be that our Mishnah does not differentiate between a shtar mecher and a shtar matana? The one answer is Shmuel's answer. Amar Shmuel, Dina d'machusa Dina. Right, that Shmuel says that when it comes to non-Jewish law, if the non-Jews have such a law that validates such a transaction, the Dina d'machusa Dina, and we follow the rules of the non-Jews. Now, Rashi over here says, very interesting, right? Rashi says, Dina d'machusa Dina, when it comes to what? Shel ovdei kochavim, of non-Jews. Now, truthfully, in Dina de Machus Dina, there's actually a Machlokes. We had this together. We learned this together in Nidorim. There's a famous Ran in Nidorim that says that Dina de Machus Dina only applies to non-Jewish lands or non-Jewish kings, not to Jewish kings. Why is that? How does Dina de Machus Dina work? So there are two possibilities. The Ran believes that Dina de Machus Dina works. It's because the king owns the land. And if the king owns the land, he can make decisions about what happens there. He can make all decisions with regards to all laws there because he owns the land. If you're living there, you're subject to his laws because he owns the land. Where does a king not own the land? In Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is a shayach kol b'nei Yisrael. So if that's the case, Dina d'Malchus Dina does not apply in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Ran believes that Dina d'Malchus Dina only applies by non-Jews, does not apply by a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, the Rambam believes that it's a social contract. The Dina d'Malchus Dina means that if you live in such a country, you agree to abide by the laws of that country, or abide by the laws of that king. That's the underlying assumption when you live there, is that you're going to abide by the social contract that everybody has. So in that case, it wouldn't matter whether it was a Jewish king or a non-Jewish king. If you live in that country, Dina de Malchusa Dina. So here Rashi says, on Dina de Malchusa, he says, Shalom de Kochavim. Now Rashi could just be saying, because that's actually the practical case that we're talking about over here. When Shmuel says, Dina de Malchusa Dina, he's talking about a non-Jewish court. And therefore, the non-Jewish court, Dina Machus Dina applies, and therefore it's a valid shtar, matana, even though mitzad alocha, it's not a good shtar. But you could say that Rashi is saying, Dina Machus Dina, Shol de Kochave, means dafko of the Kochave, and similar to the Ran, the position of the Ran, that Dina Machus Dina only applies by non-Jews. So now, the second, Gemara gives the second answer, Ve'ibayis Ema, that some that say that Tani Chutz, not Chutz mi Gitei Nashim, but Chutz mi Ke Gitei Nashim. Anything similar to a get of Nashim. What does it mean, similar to a get of Nashim? Anything where the Chatima Sa'edim makes this document to a valid document. By a get, if you hold that Chatima the Edim is Karte, since the Edim are Karte on this document, they're the ones who make it into a valid get, then non-Jewish Edim can't make it into a valid get. So too by Shtar Matana. Shtar Matana, when the Edim sign in it, they make this into a valid Matana, a valid Kinyan. And they can't do that. So Joe Spike, Gitei Noshim doesn't work by Obdil Chum, so too a Shtar Matona will not work. Only thing that will work is Shtar Mecher, when they're Eidim, when they sign on it, are simply giving evidence and not creating the Kinyan. So those are the two possible answers. There is a third possible answer here that the Gemara does not bring. And Rashi asks, why did the Gemara bring a third answer? What's the third answer over here? That's Eide Mesira Karte. If you believe, like Rabbi Lazar, that Eide Mesira or Karte, that whenever a document or star is signed, it all has to do that the way the Kinyan is created is through the Eide Mesira and not through the Eide Chatima, then over here also, this should be a kosher. The reason that these Shtar Matona is kosher is because Eide Mesira Karte. So you could have answered. Oh, very good. So, excellent. So, by Gitei Noshim, right, we have the Gemara says we have a Takana, right? What does that mean, the Takana? That, by Gitei Noshim, you have to have kosher Eidim, because maybe we'll come to Mismachalayu. Maybe we'll come to have such a Gezeira that they will come, we will depend on these Eidim. And because of these Eidim, right, that, because of these Eidim, that they will, that's only a Gezeira Derabonon. But Midoraisa, right, that they would be valid documents midoraisa. So the question of whether that gzeira applies only by Gitei Noshim, or maybe it also applies by Shtarei Matanos, even by gifts or Shtarei Matanos. If you look in Rashi, right, Rashi, it's the Rashi on the wide lines in the Rashi, the widest lines in the line, first widest line towards the end of that line. So Rashi says v'hu adin, towards the end of the line. V'hu adin nami matzi lishnuye be'edim isir Yisrael. Right, we're talking about Jewish edim isir mishavale shtara. Right, that we can make that into a valid shtar. Ella, shinuyei techikahu. Our Gemara before, when they tried to give this answer, it said that it was a difficult answer to say that the Tanakhama holds like Rabbi Lozer. Why did the Gemara say it's difficult to say the Tanakhama holds like Rabbi Lozer? Because who else holds like Rabbi Lozer? Shanin el hachi dar parchin elam iktani sefer Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon definitely holds like Rabbi Lozer. So the Gemara thought, right, that since Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Lozer, then the Tanakhama also should not hold like, can't hold like Rabbi Lozer. Because it's Rabbi Shimon who holds like Rabbi Lazar. So Gemara gave an answer, what? That they both hold like Rabbi Lazar. It has to do with whether Shemos Mufchakim, whether the names are clearly non-Jewish names or not. That'd be the Nafkamina. So Gemara said, Istrukle Lishnoi, Shemotu Mufchakim, Yikubinayu. So we gave a difficult answer. So Rashi says, because the Gemara really stretched to make the Tanakhama into the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, therefore the Gemara doesn't want to use that answer over here, because that was a stretch answer. Now they over here, you can see in parentheses, the Marshal brings down over here that the Marshal thinks that the Gemara over there, when it discussed such a difference, right, is only, or when the Gemara only introduced the possibility that the Tanakhama held like Rabbi Lazar, that was in the Brisa. But the Gemara never suggested that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah should hold like Rabbi Lazar. And therefore, over here, the Gemara does not suggest it over here because they don't believe necessarily that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Lazar. Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, disagrees with Rashi and says, Len Maskono our Gemara before, said that for sure we hold that the Tanakhama holds like Rabbi Lozer. Why? What was our conclusion of our Gemara? Remember yesterday's daf, we said why were there only three items that were enumerated that were similar between Gitei Noshim and Shichrei Avadim? We said there are many other items. There's Lishma, there's Mechubar, there are other instances. Why was this list not, right, comprehensive? Why do only list three items and not a comprehensive list of all the things that are similar between Gitei Noshim and Shichrei Avadim? Gemara's answer was what? What was the final answer of the Gemara? That only things that are similar, the only things that are not valid by Kiddushin did they mention. Only something that was not valid by Kiddushin are mentioned here in the comparison. So if you say Eide Chatima, if you're talking about here, if the conclusion of the Gemara was what? That Eide Chatima Karte, that the signatures on the document are what are Karte, then you do have that by Kiddushin. You can get married through, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So one of the ways to get married is through a Shtar. And how do you get that Shtar? You have two people sign the Shtar, and that makes it into a valid Shtar, Kiddushin. So if you would suggest that the Tanakhama holds that what? That Eide Chatima Karte is the way that you make something into a valid document, then you have that by Gitei Noshim, Shichrei Avadim, and Kiddushin. And then why is that listed as one of the items that Gitei Noshim, Shichrei Avadim are similar? If you believe Eide Mesira Karte, if you believe that what, the way the document becomes valid is through the Eide Mesira, that is true by Gitei Noshim, that's true by Shichrei Avadim, that is not true by Kiddushin. Why is it not true by Kiddushin? Because how do you create Kiddushin? You don't. The shtar is the document of kiddushin. You can't say it's the mesira of the shtar that makes the kiddushin. It's actually the document itself that makes it into a kiddushin. So that document must be signed to make it into a document of kiddushin. So Tosafot says the maskana of our gemara earlier on is exactly that. So this Tanakhama holds that edei mesira are karte. And so if that's the case, then the gemara could have answered that over here as well. That edei mesira, it would have been a good maskana. So now the Tosafot continues. And this is a very important Tosafot here. But Omer Ri, it's the middle of the, across where the Gemara, in the Gemara where it says Gemara, if you move across to the right over there, it says Omer Ri. Di Echi de Basplina and Beget, Af Be Ede Misira, Vishmot Muvhokim, in a Get, where we have Ede Misira, meaning that we have Jewish Edim that saw the Get, Vishmot Muvhokim, and we know that there are clearly non-Jewish names that are signed on it, Vishum Dilma Atele Mismach Alayu. Because we may come to rely on these Edim, meaning the non-Jewish Edim, to do Edim Misira. Below Edim Misira Yisrael, right? Even when there are no Edim Misira Yisrael there, so therefore we don't allow it. Even though it is a kosher get. Midur Abon, and they validated the get, because we don't want you to come to rely on non-Jewish Edim. Hachanami, so Tosafot says over here, Paslinan Bishtar Matana. Also over here, we say it's possible by a Shtar Matana. Velo tiknu chachamim laminam ela bishtare milva umecha shehen l'raya. The only time that the chachamim say that we believe, even when there's non-Jewish signatures on the document, is when the document is simply a evidentiary document. I mean, it says that a kinyan took place. Because over there, you're not going to come to mismachalai. You're not going to come to rely on them because their signatures do not do nothing with regards to the validity of the transaction. Ve'nasal pirutam shum kinyan. Their edus, their testimony, has no effect on the kinyam here. Aval shtar matano ain't kosher liknot bo midaraita elim kishyesh edim ksherim mishat mesira. The only way to carry a shtar matano is to have them be valid edim at the time that the shtar was given over. And that means valid edim mesira. Vafilu im namar. Even if you want to say shtar matano shechat mu bo yisro kosher liknot bo below edim mesira. Even if you want to suggest. Now, we learned this is a very important Tosafot in Daf Dalet, and we pointed out when we learned it on Daf Dalet, right, that we paskin alocha like Rabbi Elazar, that Ede Misira Karte Begitin. That Ede Misira worked by Gitin. Tosafot over there said that it's not only by Gitin, it's by all Shtaros. By all Shtaros, you need Ede Misira. To have a valid Kinyon, or a valid Shtar, you need Ede Misira. You have to have witnesses of the transaction that took place. Over there, Tosafot said that if you don't have Edei Mesira, and you only have Edei Chatima, the get, or the document, the shtar, is invalid. Without Edei Mesira, there is no transaction. That's what Tosafot says over there. The Rif, we're going to see this later on, I'll just point it out here, the Rif argues on the Tosafot, and the Rif believes that you can have one or other. You can either have Edei Mesira, or Edei Chatima. Being the absence of Edei Mesira, Edei Chatima work. According to Rabbi Elazar, he says, either you can have Edei Mesira without Chatimot, or if you have Edei Chitima, that's good. We'll see this in the Rif on Daf Samach Vav. When we get to Daf Samach Vav, we'll spend more time on the Rishonim there. But I just point out that the Rif argues. Over here, Tosfos, as an aside here, you'll see the Gilyon HaShas. You see the Rabbi Kiva Eker over here points out that Tosfos over here makes a statement against his position. He says, Afilu im nemar, sheshtar matana shechat muvayso kosher liknopo, that a gift through a shtar is valid even when they're only signing it. There's no Edei Mesira, and it's a valid shtar. Tosafot does not believe that. We saw that in Daf Dalet. Tosafot believes that you need Edei Mesira, and simply signing a document will not make it valid. Tosafot says, even if you believe that it is a valid document, when you just sign it against my position, nevertheless, Hainu Meshum Shiyadua Yedei Edei Chatim Hashem Ksherim. That's because we know that the signatories are Kosher Edim. Min HaTorah. Shabash Tar Miyana Notein Liyana Mekabo. V'chein Kosher Bodat Notein Shu Kuf Edim. Kuf Edim. Like 100 Edim. Or if the giver admits that that's what transpired, in either of these cases, now we have kosher edim that tells us that it transpired. If the non-Jews simply sign it, we have no edim misira here. You can't make this into a valid shtar. This cannot be a valid shtar at all. So Tosus, the halacha points out that when there are edim misira Yisrael, when you have Jews that can evidence the documents here, that midoraisa, all shtaros would be kosher. Shtar Matana, Shtar Mecher, and Gitei Nashim would all be kosher. In the case of Shtar Matana and Gitei Nashim, there's a Gzeiras Chachamim that we don't allow to take place. Why? Because we're worried if we rely on these Edim for the Chatima, we will also come to rely on them for the Mesira. By Milva and Mecher, where the document's simply an evidentiary document, then we don't worry about it, because they're not going to come to rely on them. They had nothing to do with the Kinyan. All they're saying is that we saw such a kinyan took place. In that case, you're not going to come to rely on them to do the kinyan itself, because they had nothing to do with the kinyan. That's the that's the position of Tosfos over here. When we do the Rambam has a very interesting halacha over here. The Rambam writes over here that it's in the Chav Perch of Zayin of Hilchos Malve Velove. It says, Aval kol shtarot shechotmeim goyim hareilu psulim. Any shtar that is signed by a non-Jew is pasul. Chutz mishtari mekach u'memkar shtari chov. Anything to do with mekach, memkar, and chov, those are kosher. V'hu? Shitein ha-ma'ot bifneim. That's as long as they can see, they saw the transaction take place. V'yichtivu ashtar bifneinu. Right? Bifneinu mana ploni ploni kach v'kach t'mei mecha u'ma'ot ha-chov. And the document's written that we saw this transaction take place. V'hu? Shio asuim b'erka'ot shalem. This is only if it's done in their courts. That's what the Gemara said over here. Only when it's done in court do we believe that these people, the judges, will not, right, compromise their position and lie about this. So they will only sign or say that this is valid if it was truly valid. Now the Rambam adds in a qualification over here, right, that we're going to see in a second, that we don't find anywhere else. Avav amakum kibbutz pluleim. It was just stam, a gathering of people, or where they adjudicated things, lo kiyum ha-shofet shalem, without a judge, lo yo'ilu kulum. It's not valid. V'chein, this is what the Rambam adds, tzrichim edei Yisrael. You need Jewish edim, she'idu elu ha-goyim, shem'edei ha-shtar. They have to say, they have to testify that these goyim were the edim on the shtar, number one. V'azeh ha-shofet shalem she'kayim arutam, that this judge saw it, and he was mekayim edutam, she'enim yiduim mekabalat shochad. Right, and they know that this judge does not get bribed, and that he is a trustworthy judge. V'chistru shter ha-goyim davar mikol elu ha-rein kecheres. And if it's missing any of these items, it's as if it's not a valid shtar. The Rambam adds in this additional requirement over here, which we didn't see anywhere else, which is that now you have to, in addition, you must have Jews who validate, right? You must have Jews who validate the judge and the edim. By the time you do that, you may as well just have the Jews sign the document. But you have to have Jews that are validating the signatures of the non-Jews. Number two, you have to validate that this is a good, trustworthy judge. So the Rambam has a very, very strong requirement. The Rambam, in addition to this, brings down another thing where he says that his Rebbeim believed by a shtar chov that if you did it in a non-Jewish court, it would not work. The Rambam disagrees, and it says that even in a non-Jewish court, he thinks it should work, but his Rebbeim believed that a shtar chov in a non-Jewish court does not work because it lacks what's called kola. It lacks the ability, right? What's the whole point? Why can you be goveh mi nechasim mishubadim when it's signed in court? It's because when it's signed in court, when a document like this is put out, yesh la kola. It has a what? It gets announced. People know about it, and therefore they're not going to buy the property. They know that the property's encumbered. But when it's done in a non-Jewish court, it doesn't have a kala, and therefore it may not be, people may not know that the property's encumbered. We won't get into it, but that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid agrees with the Rebbeim of the Rambam and the Rambam himself. The Orach HaShulchan in Simen Samen Chet in Choshen Mishpat writes, it's very interesting, he says, he has an introductory little thing in the beginning of the Siman. He says, and all these dinim are from the countries of Barbary, right? So these are barbarians, the Barbary coast. These are from people who did not keep the, laws. Like the time of the Gemara. Right, that our governments, right, Europa, and all the governments of Europe, that we can believe everything that they say. They are dina de machusadina. They're real dina de machusadina. Because they have laws that are upheld, right, and that are considered valid, and that they do not cheat on, that all the courts hold by, and that they adjudicate by. And since that's the case, then dina de machusa is dina. And based on this later on, in that siman, the Orach HaShulchan says, therefore, even if you bring a document of matana in front of a non-Jewish court, and it's signed there, that would be a valid kinyan because of dina, the machusa dina. Even by, not just by evidentiary documents, but even by documents that create a kinyan, he says that dina, the machusa dina. He says there that the document must conform to all the halachos of the non-Jews, and conform to all the halachos of the Jews. And if you want such a document to be valid in a non-Jewish court, it has to be a valid document in the non-Jewish rules, and a valid document in the halacha. So you need it to be both in order to be kosher. If it's simply a Jewish document, meaning that it's signed by regular Jewish edim, then it only has to be valid under the laws of halacha. does that be a valid under the Dina de Machus Dina? But if you want to use the Dina de Machus Dina, then this document must be valid in their dinim and also in our dinim. But the Aruch HaShulchan, because he believes that the court system there is valid and Dina de Machus Dina, is willing to entertain that even Shtarei Matana are going to be valid documents in a non-Jewish court, that you can create a kinyan in a non-Jewish court. Unlike the Rambam, who in his time believed that you needed even Eidei Yisrael to come and testify that the court was a fair court, and that the judge wasn't a liar or kept a bribe, that accepted bribery. So you see a big change, at least in the show. Okay, you could argue, right, very good. I think you could argue that he doesn't disagree with the Rambam, but he said, right, exactly, there's a practical difference between the state of the court system at the time of the Rambam and the state now. But you could argue that they're actually arguing about which answer is valid over here. Right, the Gemara gave two answers as to which, right, what works over here. Gemara says, Chutz mikite kigite anashim, would suggest what? That the difference along the lines here is that you can never create a kinyan through a non-Jewish court. You can only create kinyanim through Jewish courts. Or the answer Shmuel, which was Dina de Machusadina. So you could argue that the Rambam holds like the second answer of the Gemara that says Tani Chutz mikigite anashim, and that the Aruch HaShulchan is following, right, the first answer of the Gemara, which says that the answer is really Dina de Machusadina. Whereas Dina de Machusadina, maybe when the court system is strong enough that it can even create kinyanim when it comes to Shtarei Chov. I think you're right. I think Shaul, I think I lean in your direction that he's taking the Rambam and extending it to the practical differences in their time. But I think you could argue that he really holds like Shmuel instead of the second answer over here. Alright, it's a very important stuff now because, for instance, if you sell your house, you go ahead and sell your house and it's a contract, right, that between you and your fellow Jew over there. And guess, two non-Jews come along and they sign the contract between you and your friends over there. So one, is that a valid contract, right? It may not be a valid contract in Beis Din. Number one, what? It wasn't done by Erka'ot Shelahem. It wasn't done in court. And therefore, when you have non-Jewish signatories to your contract with another Jew, that may not be a valid contract if you went to Beis Din. It might be a valid contract if you went to secular court because of Dina de Machusa Dina, but you may not be allowed to go to secular court when you're arguing with or you have a problem with another Jew. So if you had a contract with a non-Jew, right, and then the non-Jew signed on it, then if Dina Machusa Dina works, even outside of court, maybe it would be valid over here, like according to what the Aruch HaShulchan says, at least. But the Aruch HaShulchan is only willing to go as far as to say if they signed it in court that it's valid. But if they sign out of court, it would not be valid. So it's interesting just today, how do these contracts work? I mean, if you have contracts that are working under Dina de Machusa Dina, right, are they valid contracts when it comes to halacha? Do these have tokef, me'inya, and halacha? And that's our sugi over here. It will depend on how you learn this sugi over here. All right. Now, the Mishnah continues. We'll just finish up quickly over here. The Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afelu Ksherim, that even Gitei Noshim are kosher when they're done in non-Jewish courts. So why? V'hala b'nei kritu ninu. What do you mean? We know that non-Jews are not valid Eidei Kiddushin and Eidei Gitin. They're not valid Eidim, period. They're not shaykh to the partial of Kiddushin and Gerushin. So how can they be involved here? So I'm Rabbi Zera, Yoreb Shimon L'shitatosh Rabbi Lazar. The way he said above, what? Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Lazar, and what does that mean? Rabbi Lazar holds that Eidei Mesira Karte. Now when it comes to giving over of the, if it's done in front of Jews, right, then it's a valid get. So when the non-Jews sign on it, they're not making the Gitin and Kiddushin over here, so it doesn't matter if they're not Shayach to the Parsha. They're just signing. They don't do anything. Dama Eidei Mesira Karte. So Mar says, Vama Rabbi Abba, this is what you asked, Shaul, Moder Rabbi Lazar Mesuach Metochosh Pasul. Didn't Rabbi Lazar agree that even though we don't require Eidim, that when Eidim do sign, they better be kosher Eidim, and they better do it Lishma. So over here, you have Eidim signing, but not kosher Eidim. They're non-Jews. So why should it be valid? Even if you hold Eidim Mesira Karte, the signatures of the non-Jews on the document should make it Mezuyaf Mitocho. This we said was Rabbi Shimon's position that Hacha Ma'iskinon B'Shemaot Muvhakim. Alright, we're talking about a case where these are clearly non-Jewish names. And since they are clearly non-Jewish names, right, then we won't come to mix up. We will come and mix up and say that we'll use them for, since they signed on the document, we'll also use them to be the Eidei Mesira. Because if you're clearly, like I said, the example I gave yesterday was Pat O'Brien, right? If Pat O'Brien, you know that's not a Jewish name. It's not a Jewish name. They're not going to come to make a mistake and use this guy for Eidei Mesira. Whereas if it's a name like, that names that are shared between Jews and non-Jews, or it's unclear, right, that you sometimes find like Khan or Cohen that are used both for Wolf, Wolf's another good example for Jews and non-Jews, right? If those are names that are used in both instances, that if they're signed on the document, you might come to use these Edim for to be Edim Mesira and not simply Edim Ketiva. So again, Shaul, that goes back to your question when you asked above, what do you mean Rashi said Edim Mesira Karte? Don't you have this Takana? So if you say this Takana only applies when it's not, right, Shemos Muvhakim, right, so maybe Shemos Muvhakim, then Rashi says maybe the possibility that you could have answered up that we're talking about Edim Mesira here by Shemos HaMuvhakim. But even though Tosfos says, even by Shemos HaMuvhakim, Tosfos said that we still would say there's such a Gzeira, right, that because the Tana Kama holds there is such a Gzeira, and even by Shtar Matana there will be such a Gzeira that we can't depend on them when they create the Kinyan, the Chachamim will not allow it to be non-Jewish signatories on the document. All right, we'll stop here.